Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for a gathering. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. We ask, O Lord, a service, a ministry, a work, everything we do in your service will be acceptable in your sight, in Jesus' name. Speak to everyone today so that, Lord, we'll go out and fulfill your will and do your work in your own way. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another amen. We're coming to the words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Jesus said, so likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Christ emphasized that every disciple, every servant, every follower of his will have something to do. And it is something that is committed into our hands. It is something that God counts as our duty. And he says, when we have done that, we will refer to ourselves, look at ourselves, think of ourselves as unprofitable servants. Why? Without the grace of God, we couldn't have done anything acceptable to God. In ourselves, in our strength, in our knowledge, in our power, in our human ability, we never can carry out any acceptable duty. So really, as we look at it, without grace, without favor, without God's condescension to make us do anything, we couldn't have done anything acceptable. It's only by grace. That the reason why we say, I would have been in the jungle. I would have been a useless person, an unprofitable person. Why not? What were it not for the grace of God? And so when you've done whatever you've been commanded to do, your duty before the Lord, you have rendered your service before the Lord, you have manifested the gift from the Lord. You understand the gift is not yours. It belongs to him. And because of that, you say, I am, like all the others, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In John chapter 13, reading from verse 16, John 13:16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He himself, our Lord, our master, our captain, our forerunner, he sends us because he had been sent. And the grace we have comes from him. The ability we have comes from him. Any good thing we have, any good understanding we have, any good ability we have comes from him. We're not greater than him. We're not higher than he is. And if he honored the Lord, the Father, without expecting praise, exaltation, then we who are saints, we shall be so lowly and so meek and so gentle and so humble before the Lord. And we understand, if we exhibit any pride, That will be ignorance on our part. And that will be exalting ourselves above the Lord, the Master who has sent us. In verse 17, it says, if you know these things, if you know that your duty is all by grace, not by qualification, not by being worthy, if you know that your strength is all by grace, not by any innate ability, if you know that your everything you carry out is only due to Him, is due to His enablement and His power, then if you know all these, happy are ye if you do them and you do your duty, you do each with a righteous heart. And you do each with a grateful heart. You do each with a humble spirit. We're looking at the message tonight, faithfully doing our duty to please God. We have the duty. He tells us the duty. He tells us the work. He tells us what to do. Knowing it, we do it faithfully. We do it earnestly. We do it passionately. We do it consistently. But for the mind that I am doing this only to please the Lord, to please God because it's my creator, to please God because He is my redeemer. And we faithfully do that, and we daily do that, and we do that timely, and we do that acceptably before the Lord. Three things we're looking at. Number one, Christ-like humility in true converted sons. Number two is characteristic humility in transformed conscientious servants. And number three is Christ's humility in transparent, cleansed saints. Look at number one. Number one is Christ-like humility in true converted sons. The word of God tells us very clearly in Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 3. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Let nothing small, great, nothing occasional, nothing constant, nothing public, nothing private, nothing in the ministry, nothing in the work of God. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Anything we do in strife has no recognition in heaven. Anything we do in vain glory, pride, has no recognition in heaven. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, look not every man on his own things, on his own gain, on his own profit. Look not every man on his own desires, on his own want. I want, I like, I feel no. Let nothing be done like that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, on the upliftment of others, on the advantage of others. Look for the profit of others in anything you do, small or great. In verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he tells us in verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. He wasn't seeking reputation. He wasn't seeking recognition. He wasn't seeking reward from man. He wasn't seeking appreciation from anyone, because it says he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him voluntarily. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. Now verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. I remember what the Holy Spirit is driving at. It's driving at the point that you are sent by the Lord, by the Master. And the one who is sent is not greater than the Lord, is not greater than the Master. And if the Lord, the Master, made himself of no reputation, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, is saying, we shall think like that, we shall plan like that, we shall comport ourselves like that, from the thought in our mind to the action in our lives to the behavior that we manifest. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Once you murmur, it's like you think you are better than what you are doing. Why am I doing this? Why didn't they give this to another person who doesn't have the position I have, who doesn't have the gifts I have, who doesn't have the maturity, the exaltation I have? That's why you murmur. You say, it is not okay for me. Why is it not okay for you? You have been nothing but by the grace of God, and without disputing, without debate, and without argument. It says we should do all things without murmuring and without disputing. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16 says, holding forth, that's our ministry, we're preaching the word, we're holding forth the word, that's our life as we live, we're demonstrating obedience to the word, and we're showing how the word of God should be interpreted and applied to everyone. We're holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. It tells us, we divide this into three parts. Number one, we're looking at the Christ-like humility from converted hearts. Number two, we're looking at clear humility without a carnal heart. And number three is the constant humility without concealed haughtiness. Look at number one. Number one is Christ-like humility from converted hearts. Until we're converted, we cannot manifest Christ-like humility, because the unconverted man is a natural man. The unconverted man is a sinful man. The unconverted man is a depraved man. And before we can demonstrate Christ-like humility, there must be the conversion of the heart. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." A person might be called an apostle. If he's not converted and become as a little child, he will not carry the title apostle to heaven. It will not work. And a person might be called a prophet, a national, international evangelist. He might be called a great pastor. He might be a very effective teacher. That's just activity. But Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you that except a man be converted, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself," whosoever therefore shall humble himself. It's our duty to humble ourselves. It's our responsibility to humble ourselves. As somebody was praying all the time, "Oh God, humble me. Oh God, humble me." And his pastor went to him and tapped him, and he looked up, still kneeling down. "Yes, sir. What's the matter?" And the pastor said, "Don't pray like that. Don't tell God, humble me." Why not? If God humbles you, he'll deal with you like Pharaoh. He humbled Pharaoh. Don't wait for that. If God humbled you, he'll deal with you like Nebuchadnezzar. Don't wait for that. That humble me will result in humiliation. And the pastor reminded him, Jesus said, don't pray that God will humble you. You do it yourself. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves," we are to do it. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself at this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We need that so that we live like Christ, we talk like Christ, we look like Christ, we behave like Christ. How did Christ manifest humility? And what is it we do that we manifest that same kind of humility? John chapter 8, we're looking at verse 28. John 8, verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself." That's humility. That's the humility of Christ. "I do nothing of myself." And when we grow up a little bit, even as we reach our teens, we want to be independent. "I can do that. Do it this way, do it that way. I know that already. I can do that myself. I don't have to depend on any senior, on any father, on any mother, on any teacher. I don't have to depend on anyone. I can do all that by myself." Now Jesus, the Son of God, had been with the Father from all eternity, and he didn't say, "Father, I know what you do. I'm your son. I'm God." He counted it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't claim or have independence from his heavenly Father. He says that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, "And he that sent me is with me." Humility allows us to make a senior, a a father, a mother, a teacher, to be with us. But when there's no humility, we'll wonder, what's he doing around? What's he looking at what we're doing? Is he thinking that without his presence, we're going to make a mistake? Why? All this looking over our shoulders. Christ in his meekness. Christ in his lowliness. Christ in his humility. Didn't think like that. He said, my Father who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That is how to be humble like Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 38. In John 6, 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. That's his humility. And that's what we're also to have in our nature, in our character, in our behavior, in our output, as we are serving the Lord. That Christ manifested that lowliness, that meekness, that humility. And he said, I came down from heaven. He knew where he came from. And he was the master and the leader of the angels there. Yet, he said, when I came from heaven to earth, I didn't come to project my will, assert my will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. And you must be examining your own life, your own action, your own behavior, your own method, your own procedure as to what you do and how you do it. This is the humility and the lowliness of Christ. And he wants us to have that same attitude and nature. It tells us in Romans chapter 15, reading here from verse 3. Romans 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. It's the desire of the natural man, of the ordinary man, of the graceless man, to please himself. And that's what people are running after. Anything that will displease them, they throw it off. But Christ came not to please himself. And the Lord is telling us, when we manifest Christ-like humility, we'll not be after the project of wanting to please ourselves anytime. Not to say all the time, but as it is reaching, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. We're looking at number two here. Number two, clear humility without a carnal heart. Humility that is clear, that everybody can see, it's open, it's observable. No carnality. It tells us in James chapter 4, reading from verse 6. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. He had given grace. That's how we got saved. And now when in that salvation experience, we live in meekness, in lowliness, in humility, he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resisteth the proud. And you can, he recognizes pride. When anyone is thinking, who is that God? Like Pharaoh, he recognizes that. He recognizes when anyone say, now, I told you, do this. And you are telling me you know the word. You're not going to do that. If you don't do that, if I decide to punish you, cast you into the furnace of fire, who is that God? God recognizes the language of pride. And it says, God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Once again, don't say, God, I'm having difficulty humbling myself. Humble me. Don't tell God to humble you. He will humiliate you. But it says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. And when you do that, it says, he shall lift you up. The Lord will do it. But those who are carnal in heart, not converted in the heart, not circumcised in the heart, they won't even think of accepting being humble. Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is to be naturally minded, is to behave like every other man on the street, because that's how they live. They defend themselves, they project themselves, they exalt themselves. They are natural, they are carnal, and to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is arguing with God. 50-50. God, you think like this. God, can I tell you how I think? Carnal. The carnal mind is in debate against God. God, you say this, but you know, God, in my circumstance, it's beginning its debate. In my circumstance, what you have said cannot apply. I have to do it this way. That the carnal mind in debate against God. Disputation. The carnal mind that is debating and disputing in the heart. But the gracious man, the humble man, the converted man, the circumcised man is yielded to the Lord completely. There's no argument with God. There is no debate with God. There is no disputation with God. It's the carnal mind that is trying to twist the hand of God, that is trying to change the mind of God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject, not submissive to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He cannot, because he's not converted. He cannot, because he's not circumcised. He cannot, because he's not subdued by the power of the grace of God. And we're looking at verse 8 now. In verse 8, it says, so then, they that are in the flesh, natural. So then, they that are in the flesh, that the grace has not come to their lives, and the water of the word has not cleansed them or washed them, they're still natural in their native ability. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm looking at verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're reading from verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. Corinthians, speaking in tongues, Corinthians, proud, striving, contentious, Corinthians, the Corinthians that came not behind in any gift, as for gift, as for manifestation, as for demonstration, that was there in Corinth. But it says, you know, speaking in tongues without sanctification, without heart circumcision, does not matter in the sight of God. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, competition, envying and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men and walk as proud men and think and walk as political party people? You see, there are people, they have camps, in this camp, in this camp, in this camp, and it brings up envy, jealousy, strife, debate. It's like if that person is their candidate, then they walk like no man. They walk and walk. But if the person there is not their candidate, it's not in their party, it's not in their political confinement, then they don't do what they ought to do to God. It says, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, for while one saith, I am of Paul. Paul is my man. Let him, you know, read anything in the Bible, interpret anything in the Bible. I say, go on, we are for you. And the other camp is saying, what is he talking? What is he preaching and all that? They were carnal, envious, striving, and they divided themselves into camps and parties. Look at that in verse 4. It says, and another said, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? You prefer your tribal man. Are you not carnal? You prefer your old classmate. Are you not carnal? You prefer the person that, you know, gives you money. Are you not carnal? You prefer the person that, you know, we're familiar, we're friendly. All these other people they put here and there, I don't know them. It says, are you not carnal? And when you are carnal, you cannot please God and you cannot live in all humility. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're looking at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not human, not tribal, not natural. If you use carnal wisdom, human wisdom, earthly wisdom, earthly training, without allowing the scripture and the spirit, that's carnality, that's carnal weapon. And it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strong holds. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend or praise or exalt themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Those are always making a comparison. They've done something and they're wondering, how does that measure up with brother so and so doing it? What are you thinking like that? What are you comparing? You've done your own, or the gift you have, or the knowledge you have, and to the best of your ability. Why are you making comparison? God doesn't compare you with him. God doesn't compare you with her. just do your own. Those who compare themselves with other people is because they're looking for the room for pride. It's pride that wants to say, okay, I think what I've done is better than what he could have done. What I've done is higher than what she could have done. That's not wise. That is carnality. Look at number three. Number three is constant humility without concealed haughtiness. Hiding haughtiness, pride in the heart, and yet outwardly, humanly appearing humble. We're told in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all, not some, all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That the habit we should have, that the humility we should have, that the honesty we should have. I was commanded to do that. First of all, it's by grace. Am I choosing to do something? By grace. Am I appointed to do something? By grace. Am I privileged to do something? By grace. And then I go at it. I go for it with all my heart, with all my soul, with everything that I have. Not reserving my strength or reserving any knowledge. I just do it. And I do it with all the capacity, competence that I have. But then, after finishing, and I examine it, I've done all I was commanded. I go back to God and say, God, not by merit, not by worthiness, by grace, I've done it. I'm grateful, but I am an unprofitable servant. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to serve. That the attitude he wants us to have. In Habakkuk chapter 2, reading from verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Whenever you do anything, anything, anything for God, for church, for man, if your soul is lifted up in pride, here is Babylon, which I built for the great honor of my name. His soul, which was lifted up in him, is not upright. We shouldn't ever be lifted up by anything we have done. And then it says, but the just shall live by his faith. The just by shall live, shall work, shall labor, shall accomplish by his faith. Psalm 131, verse 1. Psalm 131, verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty. Have I killed Goliath? My heart is not haughty. Am I chosen above my elder brothers? My heart is not haughty. Have I done something that even King Saul could not have done? And Saul was telling me, young man, you can't do that because I can't do it. You can't do that because Goliath had been a warrior from his youth. And I said, O king, I was watching over the sheep of my father. A lion came, by grace I slew him. A bear came, and with my bare hand I slew him. And the same God, not me, the same God that gave me the power to overcome the lion and the bear, he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand. It's all by grace, and my heart is not haughty. Lord, my heart is not haughty, mine eyes not lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. In James chapter 1, reading from verse 21, James 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You're serving God, you're on your path, on your way to heaven, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, with lowliness, with humbleness of mind, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, characteristic humility in transformed conscientious servants. Transformed by the grace of God. Conscientious, adamant, ardent in doing the work of God. We ought to have and to see the characteristic of humility. Luke chapter 22, reading from verse 27. In Luke chapter 22, verse 27, for whither is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, is that not the Lord? Is that not the Master? But I am among you as he that serveth. I, the shepherd, among you as he that serveth. I, the master, among you as he that serveth. I, the Lord. I, coming from heaven, came to earth. I am among you as he that serveth. Verse 28. In verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my trials, tribulation, temptations. Verse 29, it says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me. Verse 30, in verse 30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Look at three things here. Number one, the unworthy service of self-promoting servants. Number two, the unstained service of sanctified, purified servants. Number three, the unacceptable service of subtly proud servants. Look at number one. Number one, the unworthy service of self-promoting servants. as she look at the word of God, somebody is serving and is talking about himself more than is talking about the Lord. And the people who are listening, they are wondering, who is he promoting? Is he promoting Christ or promoting the creature himself? Somebody is giving testimony, and he brags and brags and brags about this and just mentions the name of God, the name of Christ in passing. And you wonder, who is he exalting? Is he exalting himself or exalting the Christ who has brought him into the kingdom? He wants us not to promote self, but to promote only the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, reading from verse 7. Luke 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. The point is the master first. The point is the Lord first. The point is our Creator, our Redeemer first. Put him first in everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he says, all these things shall be added unto you. His comfort first and his glory first before you plan for yourself. That demands humility. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Whosoever, gifted man, favored man, intelligent man, rich man, poor man, anyone, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Tells us in Daniel chapter 4, reading from verse 30. Daniel 4, verse 30. The king Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for my honor, for the honor of my majesty? Look at verse 37. In verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol, exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgments, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Was speaking from experience. And they say experience is the best teacher. But he shouldn't have waited to become an animal, to be deranged, to eat grass like animal before he learned. We should learn it from the message. We should learn it from the exhortation of Daniel and shed off all that kind of pride and strive against the Lord. But he had to go through that experience before he could learn that all who walk in pride, the God of heaven is able to abase. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 51. In Luke chapter 1, verse 51, he showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He did that. He's still doing that. And he'll continue to do that. He does not accept pride, haughtiness, debate, self-exaltation. He does not accept that before him. He is the mighty God. He is the Most High. And he scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Look at verse 52. In verse 52, he has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Number two now. Number two is the unstained service of sanctified, purified servants. Service on stage. When we recognize who God is, who Christ the Lord is, and we know we are nothing. Just like a grain of sand on the earth. In Luke chapter 17, verse 9. Luke chapter 17, verse 9. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. I think not. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, so likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. That's the language of the sanctified soul. That's the language of the purified heart. We're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself, you see, we do it ourselves. Examine yourself, look inward, look at your behavior, look at your character, look at the attitude that will give you out as a proud man, as a proud servant, as a proud worker, as a proud woman. And when you see anything, people will interpret this as pride, as envy, as jealousy, as self-exaltation. Then purge yourself from them. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. If we're not purged, we're not fit for the master's use. Oh, you say, but he knows me, and he knows that that is there, that is there, and yet he keeps me. Don't allow God to keep you like he kept Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew. Disciple did not know, but Jesus knew that he was stealing from the bag. He didn't remove him. And Judas might have been thinking, looks like I'm doing all right. No, Judas, you're not doing all right. He just left you there because he knows that Judas was there to fulfill the scripture. Don't allow the Lord to just leave you there. All those things are there: pride, self-exaltation, strife, the bitch, the spiritician, but he has let me there. There's no guarantee that one is going to get to heaven. He left Judas Iscariot there, and yet the man did not get to heaven. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. In Psalm 24, reading from verse 3, Psalm 24, reading from verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Look at verse 4. In verse 4, he that has clean hands is not waiting for the praise of men. His hands are not clean, and the people are exalting the gift in him. His life is filthy. His life is not holy, not righteous, and is touching the untouchable. Is touching other people's wives. Is touching things that make him unclean. But he has gifts. The light current, electric current, is switched off, but the fan keeps on rotating, and it takes the rotating of the fan as the current still been. No, the current is gone. The Holy Ghost is gone. Like Samson, I'll go and shake myself like all the times. It's not shaking. The current is not there. If the Holy Ghost is not there, shaking will not do it. The man had confidence in his gift, not in the Holy Ghost. But if we're going to serve the Lord acceptably, the uncleanness of pride and the uncleanness of strife and the uncleanness of self-exaltation must be cleansed up. And before we can get to heaven, all that must be cleansed up. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 9. Here is Paul the apostle, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not suitable, I am not meet, I am not worthy to be called an apostle. That's humility. That's the humility of the man. He said, they call me apostle, but you know, I'm not worthy of that title. That's humility. He wasn't thinking, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that. We must be cleansed from every stain of pride. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's the humility. The Lord expects from us, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And immediately he now says, yet, not I, not my strength, not my iron constitution, not my power, not my ability, not my upbringing, not my training, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We're looking at number three here. Number three, the unacceptable service of subtly proud servants. Subtle, clever, crafty. And yet, the pride is so hidden that if you don't look very well, and if you are not conversant with such methodologies and procedures, you'll not know there's any pride, but God can see. But such service with subtle pride in anyone, any servant, any server, is not acceptable unto God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Reading from verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Not a novice, newcomer, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. In verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, which are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Or the snare of the devil. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, subtle, so subtle that one thought of the angels of heaven went along with him. You know, some people can be so subtle, you'll not know it's just pride. You'll not know it's self-exaltation. You'll not know that all those things, I do this, I go here, I go there. It's not just for the, you know, work, but here is what they get, the pride and the profit they have from that. And it says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And then in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So subtle. And when he came as a serpent talking to Eve, Eve took it for real. And Eve did not see the subtlety of that Lucifer that already was driven away from heaven. And there are people that have the nature, the character, the life, the subtlety of the evil one. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. So beautiful, so talented, so great, so exalted. And he knew that, and he felt that, and he looked at that, and his heart was lifted up. And there are people like that because of what they think they know. They are indispensable. They are irreplaceable. They are all in all. Like Lucifer, pride fills their heart. They're not looking at sanctification anymore, holiness anymore, purity of heart anymore, or they're looking at nobody like me. Nobody can do this like I do it. And because of that, exaltation fills their heart. And as we're told of this Lucifer, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings that they may behold thee, the one who thought was all in all, will now become nothing in the world and nothing in eternity. Point number three now. In point number three, Christ's humility in transparent, cleansed saints. He wants us to have the same transparency that he had. Christ said, what I tell you, the secret, go reveal that on mountaintops. And he was telling his accusers, he said, ask them. I never did anything. I never said anything in secret. And he said, my Father is always with me. Everything I do, everything I say to the hearing of my Father and to the hearing of everyone. Were you asking me? Ask them. Because he was transparent. And we're as transparent as Christ. When somebody has something to hide, do you associate pride with that? Yes. Because if people know who I am in the private, they won't respect me as they respect me. So I have to hide something so that I can have the honor and the praise which actually does not belong unto me. But when we're transparent, whatever we're going to say, we measure it. Can I say this in the public? Can I tell this in the open? If I cannot say it in the public, if I cannot reveal it to the audience, then to be transparent, I shouldn't go that direction. In John chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 10. John 13, verse 10. Jesus says unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Judas Iscariot, he thought he was hiding. No. But the cover, the cloth, a shorter that could cover his length, his body. Everything he thought was hiding, everything was, you know, coming out below the cover. And Christ could see everything. The subtlety could not hide anything. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Verse 12. In verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Verse 14. If then I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. 16. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17. If ye know these things, not enough to know them, happy are ye if ye do them. Look at three things here. Number one, the gracious, humble ministry of a submissive witness. Number two, the guided, humble minister with a steady walk. Number three is the girded, humble mind for a soul-saving work. Number one is the gracious, humble ministry of a submissive witness. We're witnesses for the Lord, and all he wants us to do is tell the world of him. Show the world who he is, and we show that by our lives. Exalt him before the world. Don't think about yourself. Don't think about your friends. Don't think about what you like, what you don't like. Him. Everything should point unto him. We're told in Acts chapter 3, reading from verse 6. Acts chapter 3, reading from verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Look at verse 7. In verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Look at verse 8. In verse 8, "And he," the lame man, "leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Look at verse 12. In verse 12, "And when Peter saw it," that is the people gathering together, looking at them as if they were some great, great strange fellows, "he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us?" On John and I, on us, "as though by our own power or our own holiness we admit this man to walk." That's humility. It's not our holiness. Yes, we need holiness to get to heaven. By the grace of God, he gave us that. But this man rising up and walking, and you're looking at us as if we've done this, it's not by own power. It's not by our own holiness we've done this. He returned all the glory unto God. That's what he wants us to do. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 17. Acts 11, 17. "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I?" Who am I? What was I? What authority do I have? What power do I have? And what leadership do I want to manifest? I am here. I am. Who am I? What was I that I should withstand God? Those Gentiles had the same gift of the Holy Ghost as we had. They spoke in other tongues. And when I saw that, you want to baptize them in water. You're accusing me, I baptize them. You want me to be proud and exalt myself, apostle, Jew, above Cornelius and his household, above the Gentiles? Who do I think I am? I am a nobody. That is the humility that the Lord wants us to manifest. We're looking at number two here. Number two is the guided, humble minister with a steady walk. Guided, humble minister with a steady walk. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he assured thee, O man, he assured thee, O preacher, he assured thee, O apostle, he assured thee, O worker, he assured thee, O sectional leader, he assured thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Whatever you are called to do, he has shown you, here is how to walk humbly with thy God. Don't take the work of the Lord away from the Lord of the work, and then begin to act with dominion, with authority, as if you are the all in all. Be guided by the Lord. That will show how humble you are. Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they wanted to go to all these places in Asia. The Holy Spirit forbade them. They didn't think they knew the scriptures more than the Holy Spirit, and begin to quote the scriptures to the Holy Spirit, interpret the scriptures to the Holy Spirit, apply the scriptures to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, don't go there now. The time for them, not yet. They agreed. That's humility. That you can be guided. You can be directed. That's humility. But the one that is so proud, self-willed, heady, that says no. When I say yes, I don't know how to say no again. I've said, I've told people goodbye, I'm going this way. Now for me to say I have check and I have restraint of the Holy Ghost, and I can't do that, I must still go. My friend, that will be pride. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they are said they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, permitted them not, allowed them not, and they submitted. Submission is equal to humility, but no submission, I will do what I want to do. Nobody can check me. Nobody can redirect me. Nobody can control what I do, what I don't do. That is pride. But the apostles, they accepted the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't go. They submitted. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. A preacher telling his congregation, an apostle telling his audience, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. That the humility the Lord expects of me and of you, of us. Look at number 3. In number 3, the girded, humble mind of a soul-saving work. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. That takes the grace of God. If we hear the word of God and we don't wait to pray for the grace of God to come abundantly in our lives, we'll hear it in the head, we'll have it in the memory, it will not be in the mind. It will be in the head and not in the heart. And whatever we hear, how long the message might be, we will still not be able to do it because we heard, we did not preach in. Let nothing be done through strife of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. In verse 8, who being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Christ, Lord, Savior, Master, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And except we have grace, we cannot be like him. We cannot humble ourselves. We remain today as we were yesterday. This month as we were last month. This year as we were last year. It takes the incoming of the grace of God to produce the humility of Christ in us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're looking at verse 5. Here Peter, who had been touched by the Lord, transformed by the Lord, equipped by the Lord, and the grace for humility had been given unto him. You know, he was the self-confident man of the past that would say, if all people, if they betray you, not me, I will die with you. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you and sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. No, Lord, not necessary. Pray for me, I can do it. I will not betray you. If all men deny you, I will not deny you. You know the story. But now, the Lord has subdued him. Grace, greater grace, higher grace has now come in his life and is passing that to you and to me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Don't prove too confident. Do you know? I know I can. Nobody can stop me. I know what to do. I have the strength. I have the ability. Young man, young woman, listen. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you. young and old, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Put humility on like a garment, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace, more grace, greater grace unto the humble. May the grace of the Lord multiply in your life, in my life, in every one of us, in Jesus' name. He gives. Ask, he shall be given you. Seek, and he shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be given unto him. He giveth grace unto the humble. It's time for us to receive grace, more grace, and greater grace. As you ask, he'll give you to cover every area of your life, of my life, in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer that this important, essential, indispensable grace to be humble, the Lord will give every one of us. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. Don't be ashamed praying for grace to be humble. We all need it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord.